Father, I thank you for Colin, for this giant in you, Lord. And I really want to ask that he would hear your voice this morning and that we would have our ears open to hear what it is that you're saying to each of us individually. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's good to be with you guys again. I hope you've had a great week. I've had a rather interesting week. It started off with I'm in the hills in the Lake District with some guys from River, which was fantastic. Wasn't it, John? Really good, really good. And then trying times, it's not so trying times. Someone said I was leading people into hell this week, which is never a nice thing to have said about you. Yeah. And then other people were thanking me for really revealing the love of God to them, and that they feel like they're really growing because of time they're spending in the Word with me. And you think, well, that's a good week. But it's like all of our weeks, isn't it? It's a bit up and a bit down, isn't it? Good. Good. So we're continuing our talk this morning on We Are the People of God, and I hope you're enjoying it. To fulfill River's mission, to bring the life of Jesus, because we are that river that brings life. Everywhere the river goes, everything will live, whether that's Tibet or China or whether that's England. Our aim is to bring life. And we're looking at all those different aspects of our vision. And this morning, we're focusing on that little blue corner there, serving our communities near and far, sharing good news and building relationships. Simple little message. Simple to say and much harder to do. I think we were in the prayer room this morning and Andrew was reminding us that it was our message is one of love. And love is so hard to define, so hard to measure, so hard to say whether you've got it right or not. So we've got a challenge this morning. And I hope you've been reading the scriptures, following the booklets we've been reading, the daily readings. I'm going to smatter through them all this week rather than focus on one. And we'll begin with this one, Isaiah 42. It says, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." And later on in verse 6, it says, "I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." And obviously this is spoken sometime in the 7th century BC, which is about 1,000 years. Maybe 1,100 years after God first said something similar to Abraham. In this, I guess God is reminding the prophet Isaiah of Israel's call, which was actually to be a blessing to the nations, but also predicting the coming of Jesus, prophesying the coming of the servant who would fulfill all of God's plans. So it's quite a lot packed in there. But for me, this message is God's heart, because God's heart is for all of humanity. Every man, woman and child on the planet, God wants in his family. God wants to love and to know his love and to experience his love and his grace. I love that passage we read out from Malachi, Chris. God is wanting to pour out those abundant blessings on everybody, but he's so gentle, he waits to be asked. He's looking for a relationship, but waits. And you can see God's mission to reach humanity. We're the ones that have run off, we're the ones that have hidden, we're the ones that have ran away. And the whole Bible is a story of God's mission, God's heart to reconnect with us. And so he says to Abraham, "I'm going to bless you," which is always nice to hear. Just imagine him saying that to you right now, because that's his heart. "I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you," he says. "And I'm going to keep on blessing you until every family on earth has been blessed." Because his heart was to reach everybody, he chose Abraham as a route to reach everybody. And he reminds Israel 1,100 years later that that's his heart. "I called you, you're my elect one, I've called and chosen you so to be a light to the Gentiles, to every nation, so that they all might experience my kindness." And of course, we live in the church age, and we get a similar call from Jesus, don't we, in Matthew chapter 28, just before his assumption to heaven, just before he's risen. to the right hand of God, and he says, go into all the world. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go into all the world and teach them everything I've told you. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Making disciples of all nations. So that's God's heart. So that our movement is one from Abraham onwards, from 1850 or 1900 BC onwards. Our movement is one of going and bringing good news, going and loving people. And that means we have to get off our backsides. Honestly, on a day like today, we were talking before the meeting, saying it would be much nicer to stay in bed this morning. It was so dark and cold and dreary outside, rather than re-under my duvet. But the thought of you beautiful people got me out of bed. Yeah, it would. And so glad we've all made it. But our call is one, always, to leave the comfort of our own home, to leave the comfort of our own space, and to go. To go to others and to love them. It's a really simple message at the end of the day. It's just so complicated to live out. It's really easy to understand, but so difficult to really obey. You see, God's people are not some specific chosen individuals that he just happens to pick instead of other people. God's people are always elected to help him on his mission to reach the next person. That's your mission, should you choose to accept it, even if you don't choose to accept it. That's your mission this morning. God's mission for you is to take what he's given you and give it away to someone else. He doesn't expect us to give away what we haven't received, just what we have. And as Chris reminded us, what we give away gets multiplied as we reflect God's generosity. That's his nature. He can't help but bless it. So this is the story we live in. I hope you live in a good story. It makes a huge difference to how you feel about life. If you live in a good story, you're going to feel joyful. Some people live in scary stories where they're expecting judgment, where they're expecting chaos, where they're expecting things to get worse. That's a really difficult story to live in and be joyful. Let's live in this story, the one where God is reaching every man, woman, and child with his love through those that have already experienced his love. There's not an us and them. You know, I'm convinced that Jesus came to get rid of the us and them. You know, the one that God created himself between Jew and Gentile was the first one that got demolished in first century. But God's into demolishing every wall. He wants just one community, one humanity, which includes everybody. Right. That's God's heart. Oh, look. Who's that? Who's that chap? It's not, he's wearing blue. Yeah. I think that was in 2015 when we went to visit after the earthquakes. Maybe 14, but I think it was 15. And we went to Nepal. We go regularly to Nepal. I go regularly. Pete's been loads of times too. And, you know, we're talking about going far. Last week you guys had an Asher in, didn't you? Fantastic, fantastic. And so we go to Nepal, and I just want to encourage everybody just to go. You know, we're talking about loving people near and far. It's hard to love people far away, really. You can watch the news and feel some degree of compassion. My wife feels overwhelmed when she watches the news. I often find it to be too distant for me to really engage emotionally. But when I go, I engage. And I find most people, when they go, actually, they get more than they give and they get impacted. You know, and I hope you don't mind me, Pete, just using you as an example, because, you know, when Pete first came with me to Nepal, you came as part of my youth team. Yeah, God uses the weak to shame the strong and the foolish to shame the wise and the older people like me and Pete to bless the young people. And so we had Pat with us as well, Pat Hunt. That was our youth team. Fantastic. But we had fun. But, you know, God used that in a way. He used that time for both of us. We both had really been grabbed hold of by what God was doing in Nepal and wanted to help. And we wouldn't have done that if we hadn't have gone. God surprised us. He ambushed us, if you like, in the going and blessed us in the going. And so later on, I was to take my family out for a year. And that was one of the best years of our lives. I mean, many of you helped us and supported us through that time. But, you know, it was just a fantastic period of time for us as a family. We learned so much. And I know that after that, I just mentioned to Pete, you know, Pete, have you thought about ever doing a microfinance project? Could you come and help me in Nepal? And he said, oh, funny you should say that. I've been wanting to do that. And find somewhere to start a microfinance. And Pete has opened one up. And today, that is still running. That is still running with, I don't know, about £20,000 in it. 50. It's grown, £50,000. And families are being blessed year in, year out as that money gets recycled and lent out. And people are lifted out, literally lifted out of poverty. Hundreds of families, because Pete came on a youth mission with me, which was just crazy. It made no sense. Did it? Made absolutely no sense. But this is what God does. I love the fact that God does that. He uses these strange things. If people that are willing to go and blesses it. So that's a bit of a preamble, really, to say, come with me. It's an advert. It's a long advert, you know. I'm going again in April, 2020. John's coming, aren't you, John? Yeah, and Paul's coming, and there's a few, about five or six of us going. There's room for one or two more if you want to come. But this is your last chance, because I want to get tickets this week. So come on. Come and join us, and who knows what God will do with you if you go. If you can't make this trip, then keep your eyes and ears open for other trips, or maybe plan your own trip and talk to people about coming out to China or whatever else. You know, we've got some people here. I mean, I look around at this church, you know, I'm blown away. I'm literally blown away by what God has done amongst us. When I think about, you know, Andy running Links International Mission Agency, reaching, going all around the world, Lina with what she's done to bless Thailand and other places. You know, I could just go around the room and just pick out people left, right and centre. Ali, what she's doing for her work these days, reaching out to the whole world. Paul's done with World Mission. There's just so many people. Andrew and Linda with their Asher connections, which you were blessed by last week. Honestly, we have a rich community here. We need to thank God for that and celebrate that. Really celebrate that. Not rest on our laurels, of course. You know, there's plenty more to be done. But it's good to just acknowledge that. Just to thank God for what he's done amongst us. And, you know, we're talking about loving our neighbours near and far, you know. And so, obviously, we're also starting, well, we've always loved our neighbours. I think that's what Sheila did with Jill and loving the kids in Marlow year in, year out, 20-odd years, I can't remember how many. Just 27 years running holiday weeks. Incredible amount of love poured out into young people. Who knows the fruit of that? We'll never know the fruit of that, if we're honest. But it's River Life, Evelyn, and what, you started that, I can't remember how many. But we're doing that locally. We're seeking ways to serve people. And this is God's heart. This is absolutely God's heart. God is a God of love. I will never tire of saying that. I'm going to get religious now. I love this guy, Francis of Assisi. I also love the current Francis, who's Pope. but this guy is accredited with saying, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. Because really, we most effectively preach the gospel when we love people. Someone said to me yesterday, I think, we were doing a podcast, and he asked me a question about, you know, if we want to really stand up for Jesus at work, what should we do? I thought about it. I thought, oh, come on. Really? Love the people around you. Love them. Love them to the point where they ask you questions. Why are you so kind? Why do you hang out with that person when no one else does? Just love people. This is God's heart in the Old Testament and in the New. We are totally missing the point if we think the God of the Old is different from the God of the New. God just repeats himself in the New, really. Jesus just makes it clear what he was saying in the Old because we missed it a bit through the getting to know him. And there's one of the readings this week was Isaiah 58. It makes it really plain.
And I love this scripture. And they're crying out to God. They're fasting and praying and doing religious things, doing the things they think God likes. And they're asking God to do stuff. And they're saying, why have we fasted? God's not doing what we ask. Why have we prayed? God's not doing what we ask. And then God says this. Basically, in verse 3, he says, shall I take any notice of you guys? The fact in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You exploit all your workers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and strike with the fist of wickedness. You do not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. It's not a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. In other words, God doesn't want us to go around looking miserable, being religious. What God is after is something completely different. He said, I don't want you to spread sackcloth or ashes all over yourself. Would you call that a fast acceptable to me? No. Is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, and you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. It's just simple acts of kindness that God's looking for. If we're really wanting to seek him and know that our prayers are being heard. You know, actually, just as an aside here, let me show you something that really whacked me this week. I was reading Revelation chapter 5 and noticed that the bowls of incense were in the throne room and they were filled with the prayers of the saints. And it just suddenly hit me that God lives with our prayers. Day in, day out, he sits with our prayers and breathes them in like incense. As he's looking to work out his will on the earth. Just let, if you think of nothing else I'm saying this morning, just let that picture fill you with joy and hope, because God hears your heart. Your longings, your heart cries for your loved ones, for those that have wandered off, the prodigal sons and daughters, for lost ones. Your heart, God hears your heart's cries and looking always to pour out answers to prayer. Amazing. But he's a lamb on the throne. He's gentle and he doesn't rush things. He waits for the right times and when he's able to work without oppressing people. Which is beautiful. A beautiful picture. Anyway. So there we have in Isaiah, God says, you know, I don't want religious things. They make me feel sick, basically, he's saying. When you come and praise me and pray to me and when actually you're just doing wrong, you're not loving people. Strong stuff. Really strong stuff. He says the same in Malachi. He says, you turn away the foreigners. Hold on a minute. You turn away. You don't care for the widows and the orphans. And you come complaining to me that I'm not hearing you. It's the same message. What scripture in the New Testament immediately springs to mind when we talk about clothing the naked or feeding the hungry? Come on, you know your scriptures. Yeah, thank you, Andy. Someone else who dwells in the word. Yeah. Sheep and the goats, the parable of the sheep and the goats. When Jesus gathers the nations before him and is looking to see who are those that are sided with him, it's those who feed the hungry. It's those who clothe the naked. It's those who go visit the sick. Just take time to care for those around them. Now, obviously, in our culture, that's quite difficult, isn't it? Because the government does all that, doesn't it? Let's just laugh at that. Let's just laugh at that, shall we? I mean, we're in a bit of a sad experiment at the moment because, obviously, up until 1947, Christians were doing that. churches were doing that, running schools, running orphanages, or whatever, just caring for those that others in society weren't caring for, because we were following the mandate of Jesus. Obviously, our society was so convicted by that, actually so Christianized at that point, they wanted to take it on, which is a great thing. We should celebrate that, but they didn't do it as good as the church, in my humble opinion. Actually, it's great to see the church now stepping up and doing food banks and opening schools and doing other things that they were doing 60 years and for centuries before that. This is our call. God is not after raising up religious people. He just wants to raise up lovers who are going to do loving, kind things for all of humanity, not just for those in. So Francis of Assisi was a good forerunner in that. You know, anybody that knows me knows I can't actually say that with all honesty because I talk too much. Forgive me, Lord. There are times when, you know, some of us, whose love language is words? Anybody else in this room? Just me. Oh my word, I'm the only one. Really? Andy, come on, Andy. I love you, mate. And no one else, just me and Andy. The love language is words. Wow. There's five, you know, we talk about five love languages: touch, quality time, service. My wife and I completely miss each other. We have different love languages. That's quite fun. But you know, words are important, and we should be full of the good news as we go. But it's got to be good news. So that hence the acts of love. Actions are more important than words at the end of the day. So maybe I'm glad that being added the only ones whose love language is words. But I am gobsmacked. Okay, what else was I going to say about St. Francis? Just while we're on the subject of words, anybody listen to this guy this week? Probably most people would be turned off by his past exploits. But he's actually saying some fantastic things at the moment. That's Sacha Baron Cohen. It's Ali G. He gave this speech in New York to Facebook, just asking them to take some responsibility for what's happening. Because we live in an age where words are too easily promoted. And whilst we want everybody to have a say, we don't want everybody to have influence. And the problem with our culture is, with the media that we have, any fool can have influence. And the reason I put that up this week is because the person who told me I was leading people into hell was following rabbit holes on the internet. And basically, he thinks the message is satanic because he's followed a rabbit hole on the internet. A rabbit hole is just a little hole you dive in and it just, you never know where it's going to lead. It's going to twist and turn, you know, and it can lead you all to all kinds of corners. It looks good because on the internet, arguments can look fantastic. Words can sound clever. And they can present facts, you know, like, of course, no one's landed on the moon. Of course, the earth is flat. Of course, the message is satanic. And you think, oh my word, where are people dreaming this stuff up? You know, we live in a culture which seems to love conspiracy theories. And so they put these things out, documentaries with clever videos and people coming in and saying things authoritatively, like they know what they're talking about. It's dangerous. And we've got to be really wise and actually stop listening to that rubbish, but also pointing it out to folk. I wish some other people had pointed it out to this guy before he started to accuse me of leading people astray. But freedom of speech is good. Freedom of reach is not good. Not good. But you guys, obviously, are all full of love and you carry a good message. And I pray for influence for you. Obviously, our model is Jesus. It says there in Philippians, you can read it yourself. Even though he was equal with God, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself and took on the nature of a servant and served, just served. And so that is our inspiration as we look to serve people near and far. And all this costs money, costs time, energy, finance. And I guess really what we're asking people in River to do is to give in all these ways as we look to serve our communities. I celebrate already, as I said, what we're doing locally and what we're doing internationally. I just want to use this morning to remind us of why we're here, joining in God's mission to serve people. And just to encourage us to think again about how we might do that. Not just to do things that we've done because we've always done them, but just to take a moment. And I want to take a moment in a second just to think and reflect on the mission that God has called us to. As a church, as a group of people, but also just as individuals. What is God asking of you in this season? Not what you've always done, but today. Today, let it be a new day. Maybe it could be a new season. Maybe God's calling us out of something we've been doing in the past. Maybe he's calling us into something new. Maybe he is telling us just to keep on doing what we've always done. But let's just give God an opportunity to speak to us, because God speaks to each one of us. None of us needs to tell our neighbour what to do. We just need to encourage each other to listen more to Jesus. So, of course, if we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. That was one of the readings this week. You know, if you're a farmer, you just know that's true. If you scatter seed, the more seed you scatter, the bigger the harvest will be. And God has set things up in this world, actually, that the more we give, the more we receive. It's not a law, but it is a kind of principle of generosity as he looks to raise up blessed people. So it's just a thing. I'm not going to talk about that a lot. So the question is, which season are we in as we seek to be river people, loving everyone we meet by serving people locally and as far away, giving God opportunities to direct our footsteps into his mission, copying Jesus, sharing the good news as we go and give, fulfilling God's call to Abraham, Israel, and the church. This is our story. So I want to finish with some just reflection. There's some questions up there I just want us to meditate on and invite this God, because God only ever comes where he's invited. Invite him to speak to us. By all means, thank him for what we're currently involved in, personally and as a body. But then ask the questions. How am I serving my local community? How do you want me to serve my local community in this day, this new season? How am I serving internationally? Are you asking me to go? Or to send? Or to pray, or all three. And again, in all things, with our activity, our time, our energy, our finance, to ask God, are we sowing generously today? I remember a few years ago when I was thinking about this subject, and God said to me, Colin, you're mean, as only God can, and not make you feel terrible. He said it to me, and I felt deep conviction that I needed to break free from the spirit of meanness that had come on me through lack. And so we gave away a bunch of money at that time, and God just blessed us. And I'm not saying it's a quid pro quo, to use a statement, but it's just, he wants us to learn generosity and loves to bless those who are generous. So let's just think now about those questions. Read a question, close your eyes, and ask God to speak to you. Father, we just invite you to speak to us this morning. The God who is love, the God who called Abraham to reach the world with his love, the God who wanted Israel to be a light to the world through his love, the God who came down and demonstrated his love to the utmost in Jesus, who suffered even to the point of feeling rejected by you for our sakes.
that the church might reach the world with your love. How might I reach Marlow or the area where I live with your love in this season? What are you wanting me to let go of? And what are you asking me to pick up? Father, is there anything I can do internationally? Really, Lord, are you actually calling me to make a difference far away too, when I struggle enough to make a difference at home? Thank you for the joy of seeing you use people like Pete and myself, Lord God, when we've gone. You've used us in our weakness. Bless those far away. How can I, in this season, bless those who are far away with your love? Asking God to speak to us. Often it's the first things that come to our hearts when we pray these kind of prayers. That's God. The next things are always the reasons why we shouldn't or couldn't, and that's from the enemy. So cling on to those first thoughts. Maybe names come to your mind, maybe places or countries or peoples. Honour Kate and Sue for what they've done in giving their lives for those far. Our far is now their near. We pray for your great grace to be upon them, Lord Jesus, as they seek to love those who are near them now. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your love, Lord God, flow abundantly to them and through them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And last question, Lord God, is, am I living generously in this season? Everything I have is yours. I only have it by grace. I haven't really earned it. What would you have me do with it in this day? Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your generosity towards me. Help me to be generous.
Amen. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Colin.